Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Bobby's Bites. So, this week is a special week, Pesach, as we all know, and Shabbos. So, in this week's Sicha, we start talking about Lag BaOmer, which, as we know, the second day, we started the count of the Sfirat HaOmer, wherein every single day we impart a different introspective journey on ourselves with respect to changing our character traits from kindness, severity, beautifulness, and so on. But what's interesting is, so Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the Omer, which connotes two things, or rather commemorates two things, celebrates two things. The fact that Rabbi Akiva's students stopped passing away, and that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. So, as we know, everything in Torah happens for a reason. So, it's no coincidence that they stopped passing away at the exact same point in time when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away, and he said that you have to be joyous on my yahrzeit. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the disciples of Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the surviving disciples of Rabbi Akiva. So, in order to understand, this juxtaposition, how to gel these two reasons for Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Akiva's students stopped passing away on Yud Ches. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away on Yud Ches Iyar, which is Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer. Is by understanding Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the surviving students out of five. And so what was different about him than the remaining others is that Rabbi Akiva, as we know, he taught, love your fellow as yourself, right? This is the main thing. And we know that the students, they were disrespectful to one another. So how come he who taught this dictum, who taught this axiom of understanding, and lived by it, how come they failed in keeping it? And the answer is because each of them learned something from Rabbi Akiva from their perspective, whether it comes from a perspective of Gvura, which means severity, you know, people who are very strict, very logical, or people who learn things from a very kindness based, a chesed driven perspective. And they, therefore, couldn't see the other person's perspective. But not only that. Rabbi Akiva, his whole desire in life was to give himself up for Mesiras Nefesh, was to live completely, to fulfill Hashem's will with his whole being, to the extent that he would literally sacrifice himself. And this type of complete immersion in what it is that you're doing, so his students lived in that way as well. That this, the way their perspective was, the way they understood the Torah, the way they learned the Torah, was the entire part of them. And because they were true and honest to themselves, when they went out and they wanted to help other people that they thought were doing things incorrectly, but they had a different perspective on how to do it. And as a result, they couldn't say that, you know, this person is doing it correct, because they're like, this is the only way to do it. This is the only way to do it. And how can I then therefore respect this other person who's breaking the Torah, who's doing against the way that I perceive what's true and correct? And as a result, this is the way in which they brought upon themselves that this plague, that they were dying, because they couldn't take another's perspective. They couldn't take the other's perspective. Now, Rab, this aspect
this aspect is an aspect called ratza, right? That they yearn for the world. They yearn for, not for the world, right? For the world to come to cleave to Hashem, like a candle, or a flame rather, always goes up, striving to go to its source. So the same thing. So this is what they're about. This level of service was a level of ratza, but the way a candle, or rather a flame, stays tethered to the candle is by virtue of the wick, which is the shuv, which is the return. They didn't have this return. That in order, the point is not just to rectify the world, but to work together, to see another's perspective. You know, this person has what to offer, and you have something to offer as well. There's a multiplicity of ways to view the world and to view different situations and different people. And there is not just one perspective. And the inability to take that perspective and just strong-arming your perspective and your interpretation of what needs to be done because you want to get to a specific goal doesn't allow for the godliness to come down. And that's why it says that in the world, because they did not want to treat another respectfully, and the world was desolate. The world was desolate. Why? Because it was a desert of holiness. Because divinity was not brought down in a way where it was brought down here below. This is the difference between those students who passed away and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And we know that like Chayal, Yod Ches is the Yortzeit, that it brings life to ER. This is the life that invigorates the service, which is to work on oneself, to work on our character traits, to bring ourselves. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he embodied this. He embodied what really Rabbi Akiva was teaching, that when he went into the cave, he lived in a ratza state. He lived in a state where he was completely away from the world and just striving towards godliness. When he came out of the cave, he said, what requires fixing? Where in the world can I apply myself to help another person, help another being, help the world at large, so that we can ultimately rectify the world? We can do tikkun olam. We can bring godliness down to earth, which is the whole purpose of this. We can have a unity. We can all be beyachad. We can have achdus, which is the most important thing, because when we're separate and scattered, the Shekhinah cannot rest. Godliness cannot rest down in this world. And so this is why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, his Yortzeit is on the day where our Akiva students saw passing away. Because he embodied the two sides of the coin that are necessary for serving God, which is yearning towards God and bringing it back. And this is why this holistic approach is why Rabbi Akiva, when he went to Pardes, to the orchard, this incredible metaphysical realm, he was the only one who survived because he came in peace and he left in peace. He was completely whole. He had nothing lacking. He sought not to take. He was just complete. And as a result, this embodiment that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had is why his Yortzeit is on that day, and also when the students stopped passing away. But to bring it home, to bring it to another perspective, another part, is that in today's day, in today's world, we have a lot of this. Lahavdil from the students of Rabbi Akiva who were tzaddikim, but if it can be by tzaddikim, how much more so can it be by us? That we have an inability to take another person's perspective. That we live in these isolated echo chambers of thought and group thinking only what we know is true and correct. Obviously, there's bad ideas, and obviously, there's not good things in the world. And in the way we get to understanding them and to going about what's right and true and what's good and real, and what's bad, and that we should refrain from is through experiencing the discussion with another person. How do we know what's bad? Well, first of all, the Torah says so. We know this is bad. But the same way like a food. If you never try food, you know, you could live your whole life thinking you hate it, but actually, you might you just You just didn't try it, so maybe you would like it. But when you go, when you engage in a conversation with somebody, and you have, and you take on the ability that you know what, I'm my job is to bring godliness down here into this world. This is the rutzah is I'm gonna do whatever I can to help you. I'm gonna do whatever I can, but I'm gonna bring it home also, right? So I'm gonna see your perspective. I'm gonna see what you offer the world. I'm gonna see where you're coming from, and like that, we'll have a dialogue. We'll have a discussion. But without that, which is simply going towards the heaven and it's my way or the highway, we discard and discredit every real human beings who have real significant value in the world. And then we break discord, we break discussion, we create rifts, we create division, we create divide, which is ultimately what you see happening here. Where you have, we have people being activists for this campaign and people being activists for that campaign, people on this political perspective, people from that political perspective, people thinking like this way, people like thinking like that way. But because you take this ideology and you live it and you're saying there's nothing else, this is who I am and I cannot change and I cannot, and this is it, it's my way or the highway, this then leads to what we have today, which is complete polarization, just yelling and screaming with everyone's ears closed, trying not to listen to God forbid, an opinion that differs from their. Otherwise, they're going to be canceled. Otherwise, they're being offensive. Otherwise, they're being racist, this, that, or the other. But the point is that when you engage in a discussion, there's not just rutza, there's not just get your opinion across. There's also the shuv, which is bringing it back home. Okay, let me hear what you have to say. Let me bring it back down to reality and talk about this so we can reach a middle point where not only I can be redeemed, where not only I can be virtuous and just talk about the crazy people to the, on the left or on the right or whatever it is, right? But we can both be sane, right? We can both be crazy sane people by talking to one another, not yelling and screaming at each other like barbarians, which does absolutely nothing. And so how do we do that? It's difficult. How we do that is through Sirius Omer. How we do that is through working on our character traits, working on our midos, seeing what where we're lacking, seeing where our perspective might be lacking, where our biases might be holding, and how we can fix it so that we can train our brain to say, you know what, this is something that I have a difficulty with. I really lean towards this side of thinking, and then I'm gonna blind myself towards this person's discussion because I don't like what they're saying because it doesn't really resonate with me. But so what? Because these people see it as something means there is some sort of validity to it. Doesn't mean it's correct. Well, I don't know. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's see where that's this point of view is coming from, and then we can discuss it, and then we can talk about it on a real level. But that can only happen when people are vulnerable with one another, when they can say, you know, these are really my biases, this is really who I am, this is really where I'm coming from. And when you have that perspective only comes from introspection, from self-awareness, from understanding oneself on a very deep level, right? But if you don't know yourself, then all you think is that if someone shoots down your idea, they shoot you down, and as a result, you're offended, and it means existential death because you are your idea. But that's not the truth. Your idea is an opinion that you have that might be founded on some sort of fact, but nonetheless, if that idea and that opinion doesn't carry weight because the evidence isn't there, either you don't have the sufficient evidence and you have to continue learning to really back yourself up, and it might still be true, but you have to do some digging. Or that idea doesn't carry weight, and then you could take up on the other person's perspective and see where they're coming from. And even if you don't agree with it, even if you think it's wrong, that's fine. Well, at least it helps support your argument for the future because now you know where the holes are in your argument. Now you know where the holes are in your perspective, and it allows you for a more holistic, organic, and real, truthful awareness and understanding of the world, because we see the world through so many ways. Everyone experiences the world through their entire history of experience and leads them to understand the world in one way and in a way. There's such a value in communal experience. And this is ultimately tied together by this really interesting fact, which is that in Spanish, there is one word for lime and lemon. So as a result, during the SATs, standardized test in America, that there was a test that says red is to strawberries like yellow is to blank, right? And the options were lemon and lime. And for people of Spanish-speaking origin, lime and lemon are the exact same thing. So that perspective, which is a perspective that they have based on their communal experience, and we would never even know that. So now that question is kind of invalidated for Hispanic-speaking people because they don't have that cultural backing. But when we come in the middle and we see where people are coming from, and we say, okay, fine, now I get why you're getting that question wrong, because this question is wrong because it makes sense for me because I lived where I have lemon and lime is a different word. But if you have lemon, that's only one word, then we understand where you're coming from. So l'chaim, l'chaim, that we meet in the middle, that we find out how to bridge the gap, that we find out how to bring peace, tferis, beauty, and godliness down here in the world, so the world is not desolate and not void of godliness. And with this we'll bring Mashiach, because one of the most essential aspects of Pesach is the matzah. And we have to strive to be as humble as the matzah, to really be vulnerable and hear another person's perspective. L'chaim, l'chaim.